This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres have wrapped up practice for the day. Early start tomorrow with Vegas in. Our pregame coverage begins at noon. Puck drops just after 12:30. Sabres and Golden Knights for the final time this year. Shayna Goldman is back from the Athletic post-trade deadline. Great to see you, Shayna. Is there a team that is still very much on your mind post-trade deadline?
Yeah, sure. Like, where do we begin? Let's go to Dallas Stars, right? Because I don't think we've seen them in action enough. I think they've only had two games since the deadline, and they have two huge games. They play the Jets tonight. They play the Avalanche on Sunday, if I remember correctly, and the Oilers, they play again in like a week and a half. So I want to see what that lineup looks like. I want to see them mix and match. I want to see what Mikko Rantanen and Wyatt Johnston can do together. I'm like all about this, and I want to see how much that forward group can make up for some of those defenders.
What do you believe? Because Mikko Rantanen came out yesterday basically saying that's not true, the four-team list. I would have stayed in Carolina. Blah, blah, blah. But even Rod Brind'Amour says the guy didn't want to be here. It was like, I'm not playing for you guys. So what are we supposed to believe here in the Mikko Rantanen saga?
I think sometimes the truth lies in the middle, right? Because you hear both sides of it. And I think there are like so many different factors here. I think maybe Mikko Rantanen expressed with his agent, like, hey, they could go somewhere else as leverage for the Avs. And the Avs are like, you know what? We don't want to pay you that money. We're going to take you up on that. And nobody thought that would have actually happened, right? I think the shock of the trade never wore off. I don't think he ever got a true opportunity to fit in there because the Four Nations break. And then, if I remember correctly, a flu bug around the locker room. Like, I think it was really tough. I also think the Canes, as perfect as their system is and how it has a longevity that we don't generally see around the league, it's a hard system to play, to learn, to catch up on the fly. So I think all of those things can like weigh into the factor. Plus, who knows what Rantanen wanted to do for the next 8 years of his life. So maybe he didn't truly want to be there. And everybody felt that just by the vibes alone for someone, especially they don't know as well. And I think maybe he would have been open to it too. But to make that decision now and not in a couple months, it's tough for anybody. So I think it's tricky on all sides. I think everybody had a little bit of right in them. And I think everybody honestly had a little bit of wrong in them. So here's a different solution. And while it's not the ideal outcome for Carolina, it's not a bad one considering where they were, you know, in the summer when everyone wanted them to move Marty Natius for literally nothing.
Marty, isn't it your turn?
I just asked, but I'll keep going. I love that. Okay, well, let me keep going in that way because So the Rantanen saga was also including Mitch Marner in Toronto, who said, I don't want to, you know, waive my no movement clause, not going anywhere. So Toronto did not make that deal. Marner's a UFA this summer, probably will get over $13 million, you know, on average, maybe 13 and a half, who knows where that's going to go. But last night, Toronto, Florida played. And the guy that stood out and the guy that I want now, because I kind of banged the drum a little bit. Oh, Buffalo should keep an eye on Marner. And can you see Marner with Thompson and Paterka and Norris? And let's go, right? And Darlene. Well, now Sam Bennett has entered the chat. Sam Bennett's a UFA at the end of the year. He had two goals last night against the Leafs. They don't have Tkachuk. They don't have Marchand. He stepped up big time. Is Sam Bennett going to make eight and a half next year as a UFA? And do you think that a team like the Sabres should be like just waiting right there, first in line to make that happen?
I love how the Rantanen situation, as intriguing as it is on every single level, somehow had to come back to the Maple Leafs. You couldn't script it better. It had to with the Marner element of it. Sam Bennett's going to be a really intriguing one because I do feel like once the Panthers signed Lundell to that contract, it felt like the time was coming Lundell is going to become the 2C, right? And when he signed that contract, it's like, okay, that's probably Sam Bennett's, you know, this is last dance with Florida. He's a really interesting player because to me, that contract could go two ways. He could sign with a team that currently isn't in the playoff picture and get that $8 million bag. Go off, right? The middle class is going to benefit from the rising cap, I think, more than it's being talked about. So much is focused on the superstars, but I think that middle class is really going to, you know, there's not a lot of superstars out there to get paid right now. So someone like that, it makes a lot of sense. And he's an easy overpayment target because he's a center, he's tough, he plays well in the playoffs, and he has a Stanley Cup ring. So I can definitely see teams lining up for that. I could also see him wanting to stay with the contender and taking that kind of three-year deal. Maybe pricey, but not get the same term. So I am intrigued on that front. For the Sabres specifically, the tough part of it is, right now they do have a 1 and 2C, right? Because Sam Bennett, you're probably at this point in his career paying him to be a 3C. $8 million is over that range. Unless you think that Tage Thompson should play on the wing, Josh Norris could be his center, and then you're paying Bennett to be your 2C. So that's where it gets tricky for me. It's a good thing to have a lot of centers. It's a good thing to invest in centers and then figure it out on the wings. But I think sometimes teams pay for someone to play center, and they did for Thompson, and Norris certainly is being paid to play like a center, that you have to look at Bennett and go, is it worth it? Stylistically, sure, right? He adds some bite to this lineup, which they could use. He's not going to be your play-driving center, but if you get him a good winger, like, I don't know, JJ Paterka, he doesn't have to be the play driver. So that potential would be there. I think the Sabres should obviously look. But I think that we need to talk about tiers of interest, whether you're just looking, kicking the tires, truly pursuing. I'm going to put them between kicking the tires and truly pursuing.
I don't think he hits free agency.
Could happen. Could happen. But I don't know. Now that they gave Verhaeghe that massive deal, and I love Carter Verhaeghe. You're never going to hear me say a bad thing about him. I thought that one was a step too far in terms of price and term that I go, can you do it with Verhaeghe and with Bennett? Regardless of what happens with Aaron Ekblad, who I don't think is going to stay there, I wonder if you can extend both of them. And then are you limiting Lundell unless you see Bennett as being your future 3C, which, you know, that one has a little bit of juice to it in my book.
What did you make of Cousins for Norris?
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is so interesting because it's so different from, say, Mittelstadt for Byram, right? Because you're talking two totally different positions, a center and a defenseman. You can't even go center to wing. This is apples to oranges. And we know in this league, we're not very good at measuring up defensemen to forwards at all. Otherwise, defensemen win a lot more trophies than they do. Here you have Tusi for Tusi. The two guys who at similar times got those big contracts, right? They got those massive extensions right off their entry-level deals. So it's kind of interesting when you look at it on that front. And then from the other side of it, they are two totally different players stylistically. So I kind of like it for both sides in that because Cousins is someone who needs so many puck touches to be successful. He needs a really good shooting winger to be good because at his best, he's amazing in transition and can help set up his teammates, but he's not as much of a shooter, while Josh Norris does not need as many puck touches to be good and has a better shot and better finishing talent, and he's a little bit better defensively. The durability aspect of Norris does concern me a little bit, but I think it makes sense for both sides because it really wasn't working out on either front well enough as it should have. I think Cousins is a good fit for the Senators, and I think Norris, I'd like to see him away from Tage Thompson a little bit, but I'm sure that's the best way to like get him up to speed is like, hey, here's a new system, here's our best player. I want to see what he can do away from him, see if he can drive his own line, and then be a force on power play one.
So at practice today, there was no Josh Norris for the Sabres. No update yet, and I'm sure that's going to come through social media pretty soon when Lindy talks to the media. But so they moved Tage Thompson back to the middle. We've seen Tage score 47 from the center position, 29 last year, but he was hurt and injured during the season, so that probably slowed it. And then this year, make the move back to right wing under Lindy Ruff. Do you want to see Thompson, Norris, McLeod? Or do you like Thompson on the wing and have Norris, Kulik, and McLeod? Like, where do you put Yuri Kulik and all of that? Because he did well at center with Thompson and Peterka, but is he the guy that you can rely as your top two center going into a year next year where you now really have to take a step forward?
I wouldn't put him there yet. I think sometimes younger players make an impact and then get rushed into roles they're not ready for. I think sometimes young guys don't get any credit, don't get any chances, right? To sink or swim, they just get thrown into a minimal role too. So you have to walk a really fine line there. I like Kulik. I don't think he should be the 2C yet. I don't mind it for a moment while you try to get Josh Norris up to speed and say play with Tage Thompson. But I think at your best, Tage Thompson is a center. That's what you want him to play, right? That's what he's signed to do. And I know a lot's been made of his defensive game. I don't think it's nearly as bad as it was 2 years ago. I think it's slowly getting better. I would like to see him keep growing there. But I think if you take him away from the wing, I kind of wonder, like, is he going to get to develop in the way that he should on both ends of the ice? So I would keep him at center. And I would let Josh Norris, once he's ready, healthy, and understands the Sabres systems and all things like that, let him drive his own line and see what happens. Because I think that's the best way to see what they have in their top two centers, and then you figure out the depth around him. So that's what I would do to start. And if it doesn't look like it's working for Tage, if it doesn't look like it's working for Norris, you always have that option in your back pocket. But I wouldn't rush it unless you need to.
A hat trick for Draisaitl tonight against New York gets him to 50. Yet the Oilers have only 3 wins in their last 11. And L.A., with all their home games, just keeps winning there and have surged ahead of Edmonton in the 2-3 battle in that division. What is going on with the Oilers? And since I'm kind of biased, I like the Kings. Give me a thought on L.A. as well.
Okay. I like the Kings. They have a nice balanced attack. I think the fact that Kevin Fiala woke up and remembered the season started is massive for them because they need a true difference maker on the wings. And I think that in an ideal world, someone like Adrian Kempe is your number two guy. It is not a knock to him. I feel like everyone takes this as a knock when you say that, but you need to have that like game-breaking winger, and then you need to have someone behind him that's a really good, you know, play-driving, complimentary winger, but they're not the guy. So I think in a perfect world, someone like Fiala can step up, and I don't even mind the addition of Kuzmenko. I think that the Kings are one of the few teams that could harness his best abilities, and I think he's been fine with Kopitar and Kempe so far. But I'm left wanting more from this team. And you don't want to see the same things get exposed in a fourth straight playoff series, which is what it feels like we're tracking for, even with the Oilers' current struggles. The Oilers, on the other hand, they have some issues. They have issues everywhere. Everybody wants to point to the goaltending. And I agree. I would not want Stuart Skinner in my net. I get so nervous watching him. There's so much chaos. I don't know why a team would go, we have Mike Smith, the most chaotic goalie in the world. This is what we need next. I would want someone safe and dependable. But when everyone said they should have gone out and gotten a goalie this year, once Blackwood came off the market, I want to know who was available to them. Who were they going to pay a good price for? Once Vemelka got that extension, who are your options left? So
John Gibson.
Your favorite, right? A stiff goaltender. There you go. If he could stay healthy and didn't have that contract, sure. But I like the idea of focusing on the team in front of the blue paint because I think that's where they're more flawed. I think their defensive structure, their pair structure, I should say, is so rigid because they could play Bouchard and Ekholm wherever they want, but Darnell Nurse can play a certain way, and that is the only way, right? They found a way to, you know, maximize his game. He can't play the minutes he used to, and then the third pair is just there to, you know, play sheltered minutes at the end. I think adding someone like Jake Walman is huge because he can pick up the slack that I think Ekholm has been showing lately, and I know he's been hurt too, but he's also aging, so you don't know. But I would have liked to see them do more up front. Trent Frederick, I think, is a good player. He's a good middle six player, maybe. Maybe they can get more out of him than Boston did. It's a totally different style in Edmonton. But that team's wingers, they made really good swings in the offseason. I think a lot of us liked the idea of Jeff Skinner getting a new chance, Victor Arvidsson, and even Pod Colson. And every single one has been underwhelming. Pair that with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins not playing the way that he should. Who knew scoring all that on the power play wasn't sustainable? And Zach Hyman regressing. And you're seeing this unbalanced Oilers team that needs Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl to do it all. I would have liked to see them go for a real top six winger, plus Frederick.
Okay, because you mentioned Connor McDavid, who is underperforming, I guess, the most this season, McDavid or Matthews?
Ooh, good question. I'm gonna go Matthews, because I think McDavid, you see him trying. But sometimes, like, you can't control if your winger can't convert on your shots. And I think he's still doing a lot and playing really well. Matthews, I think, is underperforming more. And I think the injury has a lot to do with it. He missed more time. He's not at 100%. And I think the big difference is when the playoffs start, do you have any questions about the monster Connor McDavid will become to drag that Oilers team forward versus Austin Matthews, who there's still some questions. And I don't like to give into those narratives of like the overpaid core four who can't perform in the playoffs. But at this point, I like what Nylander does in the playoffs. I need to see more from Marner and Matthews. So I think that disappointment potential is higher for one than the other.
Did Winnipeg take a hit based on the teams around them at the deadline?
Yes, they are a really, really, really good team. Don't get me wrong, right? Like, their defensive structure is impressive. Connor Hellebuyck is otherworldly. But I think two things. One, I think they still need, if they need to trust Eric Comrie more or get a backup that they do, so Hellebuyck doesn't have to be overworked down the stretch. Their playoff standing feels very secure. So I think they need to rest him because, oh, look, his time with USA says it's not a pressure situation that hurts him. Maybe it's the fact that he's starting 80% of the games in an 82-game season every single year, and that's what's burning him. His one positive playoff season in terms of goals saved to have expected was in a condensed season where, yes, he played 80% of the games, but there's a difference between playing, I don't know, 40 games and 60 games for the playoffs. But that 2C position to me is the one weakness. The Luke Shen edition I don't love, but sure, the vibes. I think they could have done something at 2C, and I think it hurts them, not just that they missed out on guys like Brock Nelson and Charlie Coyle, but they went to a division rival who they potentially will have to play against. So for me, I'm lacking a little bit there. I know Vlad Meskov's been fine there, but I would rather see him be that facilitator in the bottom six and have someone else punch up that forward group, especially when, again, you know, you have players like Ehlers who don't always perform well in the postseason.
Who wins the Atlantic quickly?
I'm going to say Florida. I'm hoping it's Florida.
Okay, so that means Tampa and Toronto would play in the first round, and that would be...
I don't want Battle of Florida round one. I don't want that round one. I want the potential for round two. If not, we get Leafs Florida in round two, I'm all for it. But I think I'm rooting for the Panthers for a better playoff bracket.
Dana, have a great weekend. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Shana Goldman from The Athletic. We'll get a Sabres update on Josh Norris and others after this.